Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to July at Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher and Andrew Farley, I'm Bob Davis. And if you're new to Basic Gospel, we are a media ministry dedicated to helping our listeners hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. Now, beyond that, it is a live broadcast, and we invite you to participate with your Bible questions or for grace-centered guidance for the issues and struggles of your life. So if it's 3 p.m. Central Time, you're hearing the live Basic Gospel program, and we invite you to call and speak directly with us right now. The number, 844-322-2742. If you're hearing the program at any other time besides 3 p.m. Central, you can still get your question or your life issue to us by voicemail at the same number, and we'll discuss it as soon as possible on the live Basic Gospel program. In the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. Call now, because it's Basic Gospel, everybody. And here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Before we get into the broadcast today, a big thanks from all of us at Basic Gospel to Basic Gospel Nation out there for the generous response to our fiscal year end. We're still processing contributions, so we don't exactly know where we are, but we'll have that information in the next week or so. But I just want to say thank you for the outpouring. So many people stepped up to the plate and helped us, and we are just forever grateful. And I know our listeners out there are grateful that when they hear the good news of Jesus Christ and are connected to the love of Jesus, to the love of Christ, they are very grateful for those who help deliver that message to them. So thank you from the bottom of our hearts. Andrew, it's great that you're with us again today. Always love having you on the program.
Well, great to be here, guys. Thanks.
Andrew, I'm thinking this month about the righteousness of God, the fact that we've been made righteous in Jesus Christ. And there's this wonderful passage in Romans chapter 1. All of us are familiar with it. Paul says, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith." And what struck me here of late, Andrew, is this word revealed. It's our English word apocalypse. It's, you know, it's the removing of a veil or a covering, exposing to open view something that was hidden before. And for all of us, we have this burning question inside of us. How can I be right with God? How can I know that I'm accepted by God? And the answer to that question is kind of hidden to us. I know it was for me. I tried everything that I knew to do to try to make myself righteous in the sight of God, but I failed time and time again. And it wasn't until I took a really close look at the gospel of Jesus Christ, or actually the Spirit of God opened up my eyes, that I could finally see that righteousness is not something that I could earn. It's God's gift to give. And that's what this is telling us here in Romans chapter 1, that in this gospel, something that we desperately need has been revealed, and it's been revealed to us as a gift that God is willing to freely give us by grace. And I just wish more and more believers truly understood that when they received Christ, they received his righteousness. They were made right in his sight. Man, that would just put an end to all questions about forgiveness. They would know that their sins have been forgiven. So this is a powerful truth that we really need to grab hold of, isn't it?
Yes, and in fact, it says here that the power of God that brings salvation is what he's talking about. And I love that expression, Bob, because, you know, there's a righteousness that's talked about that has no power. There's a righteousness that's spoken of that is essentially powerless, and it's the false idea that you'll be righteous someday, that you'll be righteous in the future, that you'll be righteous in heaven, that God's pretending you're righteous. He's looking at you as if you're righteous. And that's not the power of God. That's not what the power of God accomplished. God's power did so much more. We talk about being born again. We talk about being born of the Spirit. Well, that's what makes us righteous. We're righteous because we're born of God. We're righteous because we have a new heart and a new spirit and God's Spirit living in us. We are righteous because, as Galatians 3 puts it, something has been imparted to us. I want to read one of my favorite verses on righteousness. It says that if a law had been given that could impart life, then righteousness would have come by the law. And I just want you to notice that embedded in that verse is an incredibly powerful truth that if a law had been given that could impart life, then righteousness would have come by the law. So we see that righteousness is life, and life is righteousness. The kind of righteousness that we have is a life righteousness. It is an imparted righteousness. You are righteous because Christ imparted his life to you. And so this is not a fake righteousness. It's not God pretending you're righteous. It's not a future righteousness that'll only be true later in heaven. No, at the moment of salvation, you were imparted with the life of Christ. And when that happened, that was the power of God that brings salvation. So when I read this Romans 1 passage, I'm seeing a very active righteousness. I'm seeing a very powerful righteousness. I'm seeing a righteousness that is imparted when the life of Jesus Christ is given to us. And guys, that's better than righteousness in a bank account. That's better than righteousness as some sort of standing in accounting terms. All of that is wonderful and true, but it's awesome, Bob, that we actually have the literal presence of Christ Jesus inside of us, and that's how we became literally born of God and righteous at the core.
Yeah, so if you want to know if you're right with God, if you've received Christ, you have been made righteous. You stand before him as righteous as Jesus Christ. He's given you his righteousness. And like I said, when you grab a hold of this truth, kind of fear and guilt go away, shame goes away, everything changes, because that deep question that we all have, how can I be right with God, has been answered in the powerful, life-giving message of Jesus Christ.
Well, it is Basic Gospel, everybody. Andrew Farley joining Bob Christopher and me. I'm Bob Davis. And friends, you know, a resource that has helped so many people arrive at a new and exciting place in their lives is Bob Christopher's excellent book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. Simply stated, through many struggles in his early life, Bob came to understand that the gospel of Jesus Christ is not about doing better and trying harder to please God, but simply about resting in the finished work of Jesus Christ. That, my friends, is the way the Christian life is supposed to work. The simple gospel is simply grace, and we invite you to enter into that same gospel of grace that Bob did, which is Jesus alone. Click the link on our homepage, basicgospel.net, for your copy of Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. And, of course, the study guide is available. We'll be going through that as we enter into a brand-new study on the 10th of July. So get ready for that. Order your copy of the Simple Gospel, Simply Grace study guide and allow God's grace to do the work in your life. Again, you'll find it at basicgospel.net. Well, guys, we had several calls that came in overnight. Let's listen to the first one right now.
Hi, this is Kathy. I was just wondering, several weeks ago, I heard you talking about the Sermon on the Mount and some of Jesus' words, especially about divorce and remarriage and adultery and things like that. And so I was puzzled, because it almost seemed as if you were saying Jesus' words were very relative to the time that he was in, and they aren't relevant to us necessarily today. I take the Sermon on the Mount literally. And I don't try and say that in a dogmatic sense, just in the sense of Jesus didn't mean it. Why did he say it? Okay, thank you. Bye.
That's a great question, isn't it, Andrew? And certainly Jesus meant every word that he said. But we certainly have to understand it in context, don't we?
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, you look at Matthew 5-7, and there are things that need to be taken literally, Bob. First of all, you see in this important sermon, cutting off your hand if it causes you to sin, plucking out your eye if it causes you to sin. In fact, this sermon ends with be perfect, just like God is perfect. And along the way, it says things like, now, if you're going to make your animal sacrifice and you have something against your brother, make sure you get to right with your brother first. So that tells me something. You know, I don't offer animal sacrifices. I know you guys don't either. I hang out enough with you to know that you're not sacrificing animals in your backyard. You're relying on Christ Jesus for that forgiveness. So, you know, when you see these sorts of things in Matthew 5-7 in the Sermon on the Mount, you kind of got to say, all right, now who is he talking to when he says you'll be answerable to the Sanhedrin? Now, that's a Jewish council from 2,000 years ago. I don't hang out with the Sanhedrin. I know you guys don't hang out with them much either. So you say, all right, he's talking about the Sanhedrin. He threatens hell 3 times, and Christians don't go to hell. But nevertheless, he's warning about the dangers of the fires of hell 3 different times. Then he's talking about chopping off body parts. Then he's talking about being perfect like God is perfect. And then he says your righteousness has to compete and win against the Pharisees. So I'm sure these Jewish listeners, I mean, they've really gotten an earful here, and they don't go away super excited. I mean, very much like the rich man who heard that he had to go sell everything. These folks, they went away sad. Some of them went away mad. And the mission was accomplished. And what was that mission? It was to show people the true spirit of the law. I mean, that's what the Sermon on the Mount does. It tells you there's no way you can do it. This is nails in the coffin of anybody who thinks that they can achieve righteousness by the law. You thought it was enough to avoid murder, but I'm telling you, even if you get ticked off at somebody, it's the same as killing them. You thought it was okay to just avoid adultery, but I'm telling you, if you look at a woman with lust, it is the very same thing as having sexual relations with her, and there's no difference. And so everybody gets that little gulp in their throat when they hear this sermon, and that's the whole point. I mean, the point is that the law is not just perfect. The law is perfect and impossible. Nobody could fulfill it except Jesus Christ. And so the question is then, do we take this sermon literally? Yes, we do. We don't shove it under the carpet. We don't water it down. We don't make it palatable and doable. We take it literally as Jesus actually meant these things. But we're recognizing that it's before the cross. It's before total forgiveness came in. It's before the new covenant came in. And Jesus, as Galatians 4:4 says, Jesus was born under the law, and his audience was under the law. So we have to allow Jesus to speak in 2 different ways, Bob. In his ministry, yes, he is definitely prophesying about a new way. I think of the vine and the branches. I think of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. I think of all of the talk about the kingdom and his return and the Father. I mean, there's lots and lots of teaching on this future relationship that they're about to have. But at the same time, when he says, cut off your hand, pluck out your eye, be perfect, go sell everything, we need to see that he's got a second audience and a second purpose. And this second purpose is to show people the stringency of the law, the true and impossible standard of the law, and let that law be what it is. Because when the stringency of the law stands, then people begin to see their need for God's grace.
Absolutely. You got to follow Matthew's kind of structure and his train of thought, and you know how he puts together all these different stories. And all of it seems to be leading to this question in chapter 19 when he's talking about the rich young man. And the question is this: who then can be saved? And I think when you hear the Sermon on the Mount and you try to put that on for size, you try to live up to it, you're going to see that your righteousness does not meet the standard, that you fall well short of what God requires. And I think that's going to lead you to that question, well, who can be saved and how can we be saved? And that's when a person is ready to receive. That's when a person is humbled enough to receive what God is offering in the person and work of Jesus Christ. So, Andrew, do you think the Sermon on the Mount is kind of condensed in Paul's statement, no one will be declared righteous through obedience to the law?
Amen. And then Paul says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And he's talking about by grace through faith. And then as you see the Sermon on the Mount finish up, Jesus is talking about ask and you'll receive, knock and the door will be opened. I mean, he's already alluding to this gate, this narrow gate that they can go through to find salvation. So it says everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, the one who knocks, the door will be opened. So I agree with you 100%. What we're seeing in the Sermon on the Mount is kind of like a Cliff's Notes on the book of Romans.
Yes, indeed. Well, great answer, Andrew and Kathy. Hope you were listening, and hope that was a big help to you.
Absolutely. But again, it's Basic Gospel. Andrew Farley joining Bob Christopher and me. I'm Bob Davis. And friends, over the past several years, social media has become a big deal, not only here in North America, but across the world. Platforms like Facebook and YouTube and Twitter and LinkedIn and others. And here at Basic Gospel, we're using social media to shout to the world that Jesus is the answer to every need of the human heart. Obviously, we can't reach everybody by radio, but we can through social media. And friends, that's where you can help. New viewers and listeners can hear the Basic Gospel message, but they have to know first that we're here. So we urge you to tell everyone you know, both here and abroad, about Basic Gospel and how to connect with us through our Facebook page and our YouTube channel by linking at the top of our homepage, basicgospel.net. You can be a part of getting the word out through social media to the world. Well, again, it's Basic Gospel. We want to hear from you. We have open lines at 844-322-2742. We have time on the clock, so if you call now, you will get through. 844-322-2742. In the meantime, guys, another call that came in overnight.
Hi, Mark calling from Vancouver, Canada. My question is pertaining to Colossians chapter 2, where Paul says, "Let no man judge you in respect of feasts, nor of new moons, nor of Sabbath days." Now, some have said that there's a progression of annual occasion, monthly occasion, and weekly occasion. And actually what they say is that the Sabbath days mentioned there is weekly because the previous pertains to monthly, that is new moons, and the feast pertains to annual occasion. I'd love to hear your understanding of that verse, Colossians 2:16. Thank you.
Yeah, well, the reason they're arguing in that line of thinking is ultimately it sounds like they want to promote a weekly Sabbath observance that is required. And so they're saying, well, you know, let's make sure that we keep the Sabbath every single week. And that would be Friday at sundown to Saturday at sundown, and that 24-hour period known as the Jewish Sabbath. Christians are not under that. I mean, we can analyze the second half of this verse and say, well, this means, you know, every year, and this means every month, and this means every day or every week. But the first half says, don't let anybody judge you about it. So the whole point that Paul is making is that because these things were just a shadow, that's the next verse, verse 17, these are a shadow of things that were to come, and the reality is found in Christ. Well, that's the point he's making. Why would you fall at the feet of a shadow when you've got the reality? My dad passed away in 1998 in a car accident, and just imagine I'm on this program today, and I've got well, for the folks online, I've got a photo album out, and I'm clicking through photos of my dad and telling old stories about him. And then by some miracle, my dad walks into this radio studio. Well, if he were to do that, and I just keep telling old stories, and I just keep pointing to old photos, I'm looking at the two-dimensional photo instead of my three-dimensional father, who's literally standing with us here. And if I were to do that, how silly that would be to ignore the reality and look at the shadow. Well, likewise, Paul is saying here in Colossians that a Sabbath day, that idea of resting on Friday to Saturday, that's just a shadow of resting in Christ. And what matters the most is the reality that you have Jesus and that you rest spiritually in him. So it's not about Friday. It's not about Saturday. It's about every day lived in Jesus Christ and resting in his finished work. I mean, just think about it. The seventh day in creation was the day that God rested after he had accomplished everything. Well, likewise, we are invited into a similar rest. God has finished his work. Jesus was crucified, buried, and raised to newness of life. He'll never do it again. He saw that it was good. He saw that it was perfect. He said that it was finished. And our job, guys, is to rest spiritually in what Jesus did. It's certainly not about a day of the week. It's about being in Jesus Christ.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. Well, Mark, hope that helps, and thanks for that great question.
We're going to keep it rolling with calls that came in overnight, guys.
Hi, Bob and Bob. Love your ministry. This is Ted from Alexandria, Virginia. I'm reading through the Gospel of Mark with one of my sons, and he had a question about there's an awful lot of demon possession going on 2,000 years ago. And his question was, why is that, and why don't we see that today? And also, I mean, one of the things I thought is, could it be that these clinical diagnoses that our doctors have for mental illness like schizophrenia and bipolar disorder and things like that, could that be today's demon possession? Thank you so much. Love your ministry.
Well, what a great question that is. And Ted, I love hearing the fact that you were sitting down with your son and just reading through the Word of God and having interaction and conversation. And folks, follow Ted's example, man. That is just a wonderful, wonderful experience. And you can learn together. But this is an interesting question, isn't it, Andrew?
Yeah, it is, Bob. And you look at Ephesians 1, it tells us that we've been sealed with the Holy Spirit. I take that to mean that we're protected. You know, 1 John 5, for the believer, it says the evil one cannot touch us. So as far as why we see less of it, well, first of all, let's notice all the believers that we do see. I mean, over the last 2,000 years, we've had something significant happen. We've had the cross occur. We've had the resurrection. We've had the event at Pentecost, which was the first indwelling of the Holy Spirit as they waited for that power from God, the life of Jesus to indwell people. We have that today. We're filled, we're sealed. And so that is a huge protective measure against the demonic. And as far as, you know, God's message for people today, you're hard-pressed to work your way through Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. You're not going to find instruction on how to run around the countryside casting out demons from everybody. I mean, what you are going to find is this idea of giving an account of the hope that is within you, that people are saved by grace through faith, that anybody who is suffering from demonic forces as an unbeliever, what's the answer? Call upon the name of the Lord to be saved. You don't have to be a theologian to do that. You could be a little kid. But anyone who opens their heart and their life to Jesus Christ, he comes in, he seals you up, he protects you from the evil one so that the evil one cannot touch you. So, Ted, I think it's awesome that you're studying with your son, and I think the ultimate answer to all of this is the protection of Jesus in the life of the believer, and then the message of the gospel itself for everyone else.
Yes, indeed. Well, Andrew, thanks thanks for that insight. Thanks, as always, for being a part of the Basic Gospel broadcast, and we certainly appreciate you and love you, and just so glad that we partner together in this great ministry.
And ditto to that for me, Andrew. Glad you're with us, brother. Well, friends, that's it for this 1st of July edition of Basic Gospel. A reminder that if you are new to Basic Gospel, we welcome you. And if you have a Bible question or need scriptural guidance for a life issue that you may be struggling with, you can leave a voicemail for us right now or anytime, as a matter of fact, as these callers did, Kathy and Mark and Ted. You can do that at 844-322-2742. We would love to hear from you and address your particular question or your life issue and lead you into the Word of God for the answer and the solution in the person of Jesus Christ. Well, for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, and with thanks to Andrew Farley, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again tomorrow for Basic Gospel. In the meantime, I want to remind you that we do stream the daily broadcast every day by video on both Facebook and YouTube, and you can link to those two links, either one. Take your choice on the top of our homepage at basicgospel.net. Again, that's basicgospel.net for the live stream of Basic Gospel on YouTube and Facebook. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.